Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yep, you won't be hearing that this year, and you won't be hearing that for Reese Hoskins in any postseason. That was a World Series home run. Good morning, Saturday morning. No Reese Hoskins this year, which is really kind of sad for Reese Hoskins. And whether Phillies fans really like Reese Hoskins or not, Reese Hoskins will be missed. You can talk about depth and all the other things, but that's one of the things that we'll talk about this morning. Started thinking about it. I think Derek Hall was going to be, and I've said this since I came back from spring training, Derek Hall eventually was going to be the Phillies' first baseman, because I don't think the Phillies were going to sign Reese Hoskins. And I thought there was a possibility, now there's no possibility, that they would trade him by the trade deadline. Because Derek Hall, by most people who are with the team, think that he's going to be as good a first baseman, which obviously defensively it's, you're not asking a lot, but you're asking for the offense. And they think with at-bats that he could get 30 home runs, which is what the Phillies are going to miss. However, it's great. He's going to fill in. Who's your DH now before Bryce Harper gets back? And that's what Bryce Harper's probably going to do for the year when he comes back. And it sounds like, from what I was told and what people are saying now, that he could be back by June. But regardless of that, where are you going to get those home runs? Where are you going to get that power? Where are you going to get that offense? People didn't recognize the value of Reese Hoskins for the Phillies. You know, and I get his defensive liabilities, average at best, and that's being kind, at first base. But they're going to miss his offense. The Phillies will miss his offense. Now, are they still a good team? Sure, they're a good team. But they're going to miss his offense. Derek Hall was going to be the DH when Hoskins was playing. But that gives you more left-handed power other than Schwarber before Harper comes back. Yeah, I think people don't recognize it enough. So that's, I don't know what you think, but opening day. Now the Phillies are opening on the road and they're opening in Texas. Opening day is less than a week away. It's Thursday. It's this coming Thursday where the Phillies play in Texas. And you think about the Texas Rangers, but you don't think about the pitcher that they're facing until you see who the opening day starters are. And Jacob DeGrom is the starter for the Texas Rangers. Maybe that, I don't know why he's, I don't know if Rob Thompson has said why Aaron Nola is the opening day starter. Maybe they just don't want to waste, and I'm using that term, waste Wheeler against DeGrom. And Aaron Nola, I mean, who's a better pitcher, Wheeler or Aaron Nola? But opening day used to be a big deal for a pitcher to open your season for your team. I guess it doesn't make any difference anymore. It's not a big stack. It's not, oh, so-and-so's pitched 10 opening days. Nobody cares anymore, I guess. But Aaron Nola, I mean, you go with your best against your best, and I would think that Zach Wheeler is still your best. And maybe they're just trying to save his innings because you have another day after opening day. the Phillies have Friday off, and then they play Saturday and Sunday. So you give them, well, like, there's two more days going to make a difference. But anyway, we can talk about that today and your feelings on the Phillies now that they start the season. I think fans more so hope that they get back to the World Series, but that's tough. That's really tough. You got to worry about just getting to the playoffs, because the division, even with the Mets losing their closer, the Mets are still a good team. Atlanta, I still think, is a better team. But we can discuss that today. And then it was a crazy, crazy, crazy week for the Eagles this week. Crazy week. A lot of signing. Crazy because there was a lot of signings. People were whining and complaining that C.J. Gardner-Johnson signed somewhere else. And, you know, why didn't they sign him? It was C.J. Gardner-Johnson's agent that created that problem. But now people don't. I think they're letting it pass a little bit more. Fans are, you're letting it pass a little bit more. Would he have been better with the Eagles? Sure, he would have. Would he be better? Would he have been better than who they signed? Yeah, sure, he would have. But sometimes you just got to move on. And Terrell Edmonds is the safety that they signed yesterday. Is he as versatile as C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Probably not. No, he can't be. But there's people worry too much in March. Now, if you get to September and there's still a few holes left, then you can have some concern. The season doesn't start till what, the second week of September? But people get carried away. It's only March. And there's so many players that are still out there. And I said it the other, I forget which show I said it on, that you're going to have so many players to choose from. There's still a lot of good players that aren't signed, that in the world of the NFL now are going to have to sign one-year contracts. That's what it's become. And players have to do it, hoping to get a bigger contract by signing the one-year contract. But you don't want to miss out on those millions of dollars. Yeah, but the Eagles signed a lot of players. You knew that they were going to find a way to get cap room by restructuring Lane Johnson's contract, which happened the other day. Not a surprise, not a big deal. And when you throw the numbers in, do you think Lane Johnson's really going to see the $33 million in the last year of his contract, which is 2026? Do you really think he's going to see $33 million? You hope he's around back then, but you really think he's going to see? No, he's not going to see $33 million. But the Eagles, I don't know. People are going to complain about something, but I don't know what there is to complain about with the Eagles. At this point, it's still March. They are signing some players, and I don't want to hear about this Zeke Elliott nonsense. This is total, 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 total nonsense. It's like, because he wants to play with the Eagles. Zeke Elliott is fried. He's at the end of a career, and that's what happens with running backs, especially he signed his second contract. He's already passed his second contract. Usually running backs don't last that long. So why do you want to sign a guy that's kind of at the end? And then Darius Slay tweets too much. Darius Slay, somebody ought to take his phone away from him. He tweets that he wants Darius Slay. Hey, listen, Darius Slay should just worry about playing his position, not losing a receiver who goes in motion as he did in the Super Bowl, and just play the game. Just play the game. Don't worry about tweeting, and don't worry about being a general manager. So we can talk about those things too. But and I know even if Zeke Elliott wasn't a Dallas Cowboy, why would anybody want him? Really, why would anybody want Zeke Elliott? He's at the end of the line, the end of the line. And there's other younger running backs that are fresher, that still have some downs and some games left in them. Rashad Penny, I mean, if he stays healthy, and that's a big question because he hasn't been healthy in the 5 years that he's played in the NFL, but if he stays healthy, he's a better running back. And I think they'll get another running back. So, all right, so let me give you the numbers. which you already have, and you have in your speed dial, and I don't have to give it 100 times, 215-592-9494. You got that down? You know the number. All right, here's the question this morning, and it was, the question was based on one person that I just can't stomach anymore, and I think he's a phony. We know he's a bad guy, and I think he's a phony. So the question is based on Rick Pitino, who said when he signed with Iona, this was his last job, because who's going to, now he says, well, who's going to sign, never thought that they signed a 70-year-old coach. Sure you did. You think that his agent didn't approach St. John's and they just came after him? He is such a phony and a fraud, and he's a good coach, but he never won in the pros, so obviously that's why he's staying in college. I just don't like his approach and who he thinks he is. But the question today, to try to win the $100 gift certificate for DeBruno Brothers, check them out at DeBruno.com. All the really, really, really good food, the catering, for your business, for your just social parties, whatever it is really good. And the food there obviously is beyond really good. And check it out at DeBruno.com or DeBrunoCatering.com. All right, here's the question. People in sports you just can't stomach. And I've taken Rick Pitino out of the mix. And there's a lot of people in sports, whether it's players or coaches, that you just can't stomach. There's a lot of them that come to mind. But Rick Pitino comes to mind really, really, really quickly. And as soon as I heard that he got another job, now, will St. John's be better? Yeah. Are they going to win a national championship? No. But one time they obviously were a really good team. But is Rick Pitino, it's going to make him a better team. But the fact that you're going to pay this guy a lot of money, it's obnoxious what they're paying coaches nowadays to coach. Players are getting paid. Coaches are getting paid. They've got to do something about these players that jump into the transfer portal in college sports. And speaking of that, I do not play and fill out in days in past, it was called an NCAA pool. They don't call it anymore because although gambling was taboo, gambling's not taboo anymore. Your brackets, you call it your brackets. I don't care what you call it. The reason I don't play is because what has happened, and it's happened over the last couple of days, and it's happened throughout, and a 15 or a 16 seed should never beat a 1 seed, as happened with Purdue and their loss. That should never happen. And none of these things should happen. Although Miami is playing really well. Maybe there's no, and the players that transfer, the players that move around to go for more money, that's what hurts the strength. And I think it's a good thing that you have more teams with a chance. But it's not a good thing when you play your brackets. Anybody that wins in filling out those pools, those brackets now, is just absolutely positively lucky. I don't know. I can't think of one person that would not have at least one number one seed in the Final Four. Now you've got none that even go into the Final Eight. You're cooked. You're done. And I don't know what people, and everybody's in the same boat, but if you win outside of the teams that you think are the obvious, Alabama, and I'm actually glad they lost. I don't know. I don't like the way they seem to cover up the killing by one of their players where another player, they continue to say unknowingly brought him the gun, and then nothing happened to him because he's their best player. If you can play, it's like Ja Morant. why did he only get 8 games? You know, he's carrying a gun on the road. I just, why do you only get 8? Because he can play. That's the problem in sports now. But I'm kind of glad that Alabama lost. I don't want to see team benefit because they didn't do the right thing. I mean, they clearly didn't do the right thing. Phillies play again today. Yesterday they pitched everybody one inning. That's what spring training has become anymore. It's just, you don't get to see starters going unless it's on their day. I don't even know how he's going to pitch the game today, which will be again on WIP. But the Phillies, less than a week away. So we'll get your predictions today, and we'll get your responses. The question is, it's a simple question, and there's probably a lot of good answers. I mean, I can think of 4 or 5 as soon as I thought about the question. I can think about 4 or 5 right off the top of my head who I just can't stomach anymore. And there's so many players with attitudes. I'm trying to think of the sport. What's the sport that has the most arrogant people? Is it the NBA? Well, the NBA, those players just do whatever the hell they want to do. And last night, Sixers lost, but I don't think the people that fans expected the Sixers to win at Golden State. And Joel Embiid played because he knew against that team there would be a lot of points, and he would score a lot of points to make up for the other night when he only scored 16. It's all about scoring points. Now, what does it say for a 76ers team who has one player score 46 points and they still lose by 8? Doesn't that tell you something? The other thing that, and I've continued to say this about the NBA, the NBA is just a terrible product. A terrible product. For instance, look at last night. Okay, so you have in the Indiana-Boston game, Boston wins by 25 points. Is that a good game? No. The Toronto Raptors beat the Pistons by 21 points. The Memphis Grizzlies score 100. It's a no-defense league. Score 151. Six, they win by 38. What's it? 38 points. This is what the NBA has become. And there's more like that. Milwaukee Bucks score 144. And they win by, 28 points. This is what the NBA is, a joke. 28 points. There's another game. You had 28 points. The Bulls on the road beat the Portland Trailblazers by 28 points. The NBA is absolutely, positively a joke. No defense. Three-point shots. I don't know how you can watch an entire game because there's not enough games that really come down. There's games that do come down to the last couple of minutes. Not enough. But when many teams win by 20 plus points and 30 plus points, now that's a disgrace. And two teams scored over 140 last. Milwaukee scored 144 and Memphis scored 151. You got to be kidding me. All right, let me give you the numbers again and we'll get to your calls and we'll get to your comments. 215-592-9494. It's a Saturday morning. It's WIP. Sixers, by the way, play tonight. I wonder whether Embiid will play. Well, it depends on if he thinks he can score points against the other team the way they play defense. And Phoenix scores a lot of points. You know, it's about his points now. You know, so he can win the MVP, and that's what it comes down to. It's about his points. And I think that's obviously the wrong approach. 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin on a Saturday morning, WIP, and the time now is 8:20. 94, WIP, Howard Eskin here. A lot of people on the line, so let's get right to it. And Jim, you're on WIP.
Hey, yes. I want to say that Reese Hoskins won't be as big of a loss as we think because Derek Hall's going to hit 25 home runs, and I don't know
did
why.
Did you listen to what I said to start this? Did you listen to what I said?
I missed some of that.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Yeah, I think Derek Hall and people that I spoke to when I was in spring training think Derek Hall, if he gets 500 at-bats, could hit 30 home runs. And, you know, I don't disagree with that. And so from the first base standpoint, that's fine. But now Derek Hall was going to be the DH for most of the, against all the right-handers. So now you have to find somebody else to fill that spot while Bryce Harper is out. Now, who's going to be the DH for the Phillies?
Well, that's true. The only thing
sure
is
it's true. Who's going to be the
DH? Unless they put Cassiano as the designated hitter.
Okay, now who plays right field? You still got to put another person in the lineup. Anybody could be but you're missing 30 home runs in your lineup, regardless of whether Derek Hall has success. And I think, from what everybody says, I think he will. But you're missing another big hitter in your lineup. So who is your DH?
They're going to have to make a trade, or they're going to have to figure out
it's not that easy to make a trade, especially at this point in the season. That you're just going to find you're going to get a team to give you a player that's going to hit 30 home runs.
No, well, I think that we have more to worry about than just that, because if one of our pitchers goes down, we only have two pitchers in the minors that will be good, and that's Painter and Abel. All the others, we have such lousy coaching in the minors. Did you see how our minor leaguers pitched in the spring training games? Does anybody ever watch the minor league games?
Your point was, and I don't disagree with that, they got to figure out if Suarez is hurt for any period of time or he has problems during the year. That's a problem. Yeah, and Painter won't be back until probably at least the middle of the season. And then you just assume that a 19-year-old coming off, a tear in his elbow ligament is just going to come around and do it. That is a better point. Yes, that is an issue. But they're going to miss Reese Hoskins. And whether you just plug in Derek Hall at first base, you still have to put another person in the lineup. They don't have anybody to fill Derek Hall's DH spot now that he's the first baseman.
Well, that's true, but something will be figured out. And like they said, Sosa could play third, even if Hall designated hit and put Bohm at first, but there's options they have. Like, you don't necessarily have everybody hit
30 home
runs. Okay,
that's fine, but you're still missing Derek Hall in the lineup.
Right, but most fans and most hosts on your show do not believe Derek Hall can hit 25 or 30. I say 25, and Kevin Long worked with him. He had lousy hitting coaching in the minors, so that's why he didn't hit 30 in the minors.
I think Derek Hall, if he plays pretty much every day, and there's obviously a lot of right-handers, I think he's got a chance to definitely hit 30 home runs. All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Let's
all
go
right,
to Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Bill, you're on WIP. Okay, Bill's gone. Let's go to Joan. Joan, you're on WIP. Is Joan not there?
Actually, my husband listens. Yeah. We're big fans of yours. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I wanted to chat with you. Who do you think the Eagles are going to draft? Do you think they're going to get the guy from Texas, who's Jalen Hurts? Apparently, they have the same agent.
The running back?
Yes.
No, they're not going to draft him at 10. They're not. If they draft a running back at 10, I would be so shocked. All these people that want a running back drafted that high. You don't win drafting running backs that high. You can get running backs in the later rounds. and the way they use running backs and the longevity of a running back is not the same as drafting a player at other positions. And that's what you look for when you make a pick that high. No, I do not think they will take a running back at number 10. Do not.
Who do you think they'll get then?
Well, defensive and offensive line are always more important positions because they have age at their cornerbacks. And, you know, defensive backfield, you have age there. So you want to draft somebody there. I don't know if there's somebody worthy at number 10. But offensive or defensive, I think in the end, offensive, defensive line, or a cornerback, I think they'll draft at number 10.
Gotcha. And then I'm really upset about Reese Hoskins. He's going to be a huge loss.
Yeah, I agree, Joan. They're going to miss him. They really are going to miss him. All right, Joan, you would be interesting to see. Do you have somebody that you just can't stomach in sports?
Yes, Aaron Rodgers. Used to like him, really, when he first started, but I'm not sure if he's had too many hits to the head. Really has gotten out of control, arrogant. Just not the same Aaron Rodgers.
He is annoying.
Which is unfortunate, he's definitely up there.
That's actually a good one. All right, Joan, I appreciate the call. That's actually a very good one. Aaron Rodgers, I thought, was the best quarterback in football. But I don't know that I'd want to go through all that drama. Everything he does is all about drama. Drama, drama, drama. All right, let's move on to the phones. And Steve was over in Egg Harbor. Steve, how are you this morning?
Yeah, very good. I'll tell you, I think the Phillies are going to be okay. Obviously, they're going to give Sosa some more at-bats here. I listened to the interview with Charlie Emanuel, and he speaks pretty highly of this kid. He thinks he's going to have a heck of a year for us because he's a jack-of-all-trades. He plays all over the place. And, you know, if they need to give, Hall a day off for a right-hander or left-hander, you move Boehm over to third. You move him to you move Sosa over to his third spot, and then you bat somebody, whoever I guess you choose who's high, because we got some good guys on the bench. We got Harrison, who's a very fine. He's a fine player. I mean, he's not an all-star, but he's quality.
Yeah, I just don't take 30 home runs out of the lineup and say everything's okay. I think they're going to really miss Hoskins. I really think they're going to miss Hoskins.
Well, I agree. You can't take 30 home runs out of the lineup. I mean, you know, but that's the hand we're dealt. And hopefully, I've been a proponent of Hall all along, and I actually did the same thing you did last year about them trading Reese Hoskins after this year, because I think Hall looks really solid. And you know, I mean, he actually reminds me of Adrian Gonzalez a little bit. I mean, I hope he has half the career as Adrian Gonzalez. But he reminds me of that type of guy. He's a big guy, but I like the fact that he hits the opposite way. You know, so, when those left-handed guys hit the ball the opposite way with that kind of power, he can hit it out the opposite way, too. So I think we're going to be okay. So does obviously you have to step in there.
At first base, but my point was that you're going to miss Derek Hall's at DH, because now who's your DH?
Well, that's what I mean. You're going to probably plug Sosa in there,
He
might put Castellanos in there and put Sosa out in right field because he's practicing the outfield.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the Sosa doesn't have the power. It just and the Phillies.
Yeah, but he might bat 280. He might get on base more. He might give guys a lot more opportunities to get runs, a lot more hit and run with this guy. Because as far as I heard, if they have him in there, they're probably going to put him behind
analytics.
Turner.
Wait a minute, analytics. You don't hit and run with analytics.
Oh, I'm not an analytic guy. I'm old school, Howard. I'm 60 years old.
I know.
Yeah.
But they are. All right, who's the player or coach that you just can't stomach anymore?
I just can't stand Alex Rodriguez at all, man. The guy makes me sick. I can't stand him.
On so
I can't
many
even
levels.
Watch Sunday Night Baseball anymore.
Well, I just can't watch ESPN when he's – or actually, it's ESPN.
Exactly.
He was on Fox during the World Baseball Classic.
I'd rather watch Paint Dry than listen to him.
He is such a phony. But A-Roid – A-Roid,
yeah, A-Roid is right.
Else we did. A-Roid, he's such a phony, but I can't stomach him. And that's not a bad one. Okay, hey, Steve, I appreciate the call this morning. Thanks, man. 215-592-9494. All right, so Mark Lawrence will join us at 9:40. There's not many games left. Let's see the way he looks at the rest of these things. And I know Mark, like a lot of people, thought Alabama and Houston would be in the final. Well, obviously, that's not happening. And there's something else that I want to discuss, and I want to see what you think. And I think fans in this town, you know, in certain areas, they go crazy on ownership. And we've heard it for years. They've criticized ownership, and they didn't do this, and they didn't do this, and they did this. And I have a question for you, and I'm just trying to figure out whether people care or don't care. And it's concerning the Sixers ownership. Do you care or don't care? We'll get to that. I'm Howard Eskin, and we'll be right back. I'm not sure we're going to have a parade down Broad Street for anybody right now, but they're close. There's teams that are close. I'm not sure that they're quite there. They're quite there yet. All right, our question this morning to attempt to win the $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers at thebruno.com. All that good food. So much good food. You can just eat and eat and eat. It's really great stuff. It's a simple question with a lot of good answers, I think. People in sports you just can't stomach anymore. And it was based on Rick Pitino, who I can't stomach anymore. The guy's a bad guy, and he's a phony, and he's with things that are wrong with a human being. All right, here was my question. I want to get back to the phones after I ask you this question. People in this town have complained about ownership of the teams here a lot. They've complained a lot. But I haven't heard many complaints about Sixers ownership based on this subject. Josh Harris and David Blitzer are the two majority owners. First of all, let me start with the Sixers on Monday night honored and celebrated the only championship that organization has had in 40 years. Four Hall of Famers on the team, Hall of Famer as a coach, great team. There's probably people out there that don't remember them, that aren't old enough, but they were a great team with great people and great players. And they celebrated and honored that team. Do you know neither one of the owners were in the building? I mean, is that a disgrace? That's the first thing, but that's not my main thing. That's just insulting, disgraceful, and embarrassing. But Sixers ownership already has one rival of a Philadelphia team. They have the New Jersey Devils. Call them what you want. It's still in the same division. And nobody cares about the Flyers, unfortunately, right now. For Flyers fans, nobody cares about them anymore, and unfortunately for the Flyers. But now, Josh Harris and David Blitzer and that group are trying to buy the Washington football team. And I can't bring myself to call them the Commanders because it's such a stupid name. But whatever the case, they're looking to buy them. It's another rival of a Philadelphia team. Does this ownership really care about Philadelphia? I mean, you know the answer to the question. The answer is no. They care nothing about Philadelphia. Do they have any compassion for Philadelphia? No. But I don't understand. I haven't heard a lot of complaints and outrage and people just saying, like, what the hell are these guys doing? Because they have no feel for the city. They want a new arena at 10th and Market. And one of the comments in a statement they put out, they just want to make Philadelphia a better place. How would they know about Philadelphia? They don't even live here. Josh Harris lives in Miami. David Blitzer lives in the New York area. They have no connection to Philadelphia whatsoever. And they have no care about Philadelphia whatsoever. It's a terrible idea for that arena, and they just keep on trying to push people, because all they care about is their money. They don't care about you as a fan, not if they're going to buy another rival team. They don't care about you as a fan putting an arena in a crime area with no parking and people don't take public transportation. They just don't care about you. They don't care a little bit. And then obviously they're going to make donations to try to get support from big groups, which they've already tried to do. They're trying to get city council. I'm sure they're making donations. It's just terrible. And, you know, somebody said that there's been a lot of negative stories about an arena in downtown, but it will create more jobs. Well, wait a minute. The people that had the jobs for those games are still going to have jobs, but just going to have another building. And then they're going to lose work because you would have almost an event. I'm going to say it's not an event a night, but a lot of events in one building. Now you're going to separate them among two buildings. But a music promoter already said that people aren't going to go to the new building for concerts because they're comfortable and they like the Wells Fargo Center. I mean, it's just a complete joke, but that's not my biggest issue right now. Here's a guy that has no feel and no caring for the fans of Philadelphia, an ownership group that's going to buy another rival team because it's all about their money. How many more billions and billions, millions and billions do you really need to make when you have enough money for the next 10 lifetimes? It's just, it's ego and it's not caring. But I haven't heard an outrage from people. All right. I just thought I'd throw it out there. And I don't know if people care or don't care, but if you do, I'd like to hear from you. All right. Let's go to V. V, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. How are you doing today?
Good. I never had a bad day in my life. How are you doing, V?
I'm here, so that's always a good thing, right?
Yep, it sure is.
Yeah, Reese, I really feel so bad for him because this is not a great injury. God only knows how it's going to turn out in the end when he goes through his healing process. But he's definitely that spark in the Phillies that I love because he has a hunger for baseball. And
well, but he's a good person. He's on an even keel. He doesn't get mad at the media. He just takes things in stride. But his healing process, I mean, it's a long process. He's out for the year. But you, in talking to doctors, because medical procedures are so good right now, players come back from that injury. But he's not going to come back this year. But they do come back from that injury. So
well, I hope
in the
he
end,
does
he's just got to work hard to come back. But it's
it's
not a good thing. It's just that long-term contract that he hoped to get. I'm unhappy for him, but not unhappy for his agent, who's just a bad guy for baseball. Scott Boras is not good for baseball. But whatever the case may be, it's going to prohibit him from obviously getting a long-term contract. Yeah, it's really kind of. It is kind of sad. I agree. It is kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my thought all week since I saw that video when he injured it. And you saw him try to protect it. But
all right, V, who's the player that you can't stomach any, or coach that you can't stomach?
Well, I still can't stomach Glenn Rivers. I know people like him, but I don't like his smart mouth. So I still can't stomach
him. He's been pretty quiet this year with those kind of things. But I appreciate the call, V. You have a great day. Let's go to Jack. Jack, you're on WIP. Okay. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Jack dropped off for whatever reason, but John, you're on.
My benefit. Hey, listen,
yes,
Howard,
is.
I want to talk a little bit about the Phillies and the Reese Hoskins injury, but I'll touch on your question, too, at the end, if that's okay.
Sure.
I think whether you like Reese Hoskins or whether you don't like Reese Hoskins, I mean, I know there's a lot of people didn't really think he should have came back this year. But we're going to miss him in the lineup. I mean, you just can't replace that guy, you know, especially if you have nobody in the farm system or nobody on your roster that can do it. So if you have
they can replace him, but they can't replace the guy, the player that will replace him, and that's Derek Hall. He was going to be the DH for most of the games until Harper came back.
I understand that, and here's what people don't understand. If you have nine players in a lineup, one of them goes out and you replace that with eight, you're not really replacing the output of the guy that's out. So, I mean, you know, he's going to be missed. And
sure,
this beginning part of this year is going to be a struggle for the Phillies. I mean, Yeah, their pitching is...
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously they've added Trey Turner to the lineup from last year, but Reese Hoskins made that line. Reese Hoskins is just important to a lineup. He is important to a lineup.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and what he lacks in defensive skills, he makes up at the plate, so...
Yep.
But to touch on the Sixers ownership...
Yeah, Sixers people complained about ownership all the time, but they don't seem to complain about this ownership.
Yeah, and I don't understand. I mean, you basically have an ownership that has, like you said, no roots in Philly, could care less about the Philly culture, and, you know, are basically trying to push a whole community out to make a profit. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous that you want to destroy a whole community that lives in Center City because you want a separate arena in a place where the infrastructure won't handle it.
It can't handle it, and the thing is they have, let's say, 50 dates for basketball. And they're going to say, well, they get other events. Well, what other events are they going to get? Concerts are, the promoters are like the Wells Fargo Center. You're not going to get Disney on Ice. You're not going to get the circus. You're not going to get those kind of events because who wants to take their kids downtown when they're not going to take public transportation? It is a crime area, and we know that because that's why Wawa closed their store at 12th and Market, which two blocks away. There's so many, and then you're disrupting a community, Chinatown, and then somebody rolls out there, well, it's going to create more jobs. Well, how's it going? Who is going to build a business because there's an arena there for 50 dates a year? Who's going to build a restaurant or what? Nobody's putting anything down here. It's a complete joke, and it's all about them. But the fact that he has no concern for Philadelphia people trying to buy a team that's a rival of the Eagles, the most loved team in town. You know, you love them, you hate them, but you always talk about them. And he's going to buy does he care about Philadelphia? No, he doesn't even come back. He's not even here. It's disgraceful. It really
is. Absolutely is. And the fact that
why don't you think there's more people that complain about their ownership?
I mean, honestly, Howard, I don't have the answer, but what I can say is maybe they think it's just not going to happen, so there's no use complaining. But I mean,
forget about the arena. I'm talking about the buying the Washington football team. There is a chance that that could happen.
Oh no, there's absolutely a good chance that can happen. And the fact that people aren't a little more upset because, listen, he owns the Devils, which, you know, is a rival to Flyers, but the Flyers are really insignificant right now.
Yeah, well, and that's right. But
yeah, the favorite sport. Yeah, I know. They're going to rival your favorite team in Philadelphia.
He doesn't care one little bit about the people of Philadelphia. Not one little bit.
That's truly an ownership that just cares about the bottom line.
They care about their own money. They care about their own money. That's all they care about. All right, John, who is the player that you or coach that you can't stomach anymore?
I just can't stomach Antonio Brown or anything about him anymore.
He's not even a player. He's not even in the league. Could you have somebody else?
Ben Simmons, I can't stand him anymore. I mean, there's always a story about him being hurt and not playing.
Yeah, he's hurt again, and he's not playing. It is truly unbelievable. All right, Ben Simmons, you're in there, John. You're in. There's a lot of guys I can think of. There's a lot more that I can think of that people haven't said yet. The Eagles. People were so annoyed 10 days ago. Are you still annoyed that they haven't done enough? And at least it's calmed down, the contract situation with Jalen Hurts. That will not be a problem. Trust me on this. That will not be a problem. 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin. We'll get back to your calls. We'll try to get you qualified for that $100 gift certificate to DeBruno Brothers. I'm Howard Eskin on a Saturday morning. Baseball season less than a week away. Football season months away. But the draft's coming up. Oh, boy, the draft knicks are going to be out. The draft knicks, mock drafts. There's and 52,000 mock drafts. Everybody's got everybody. You just got a long list of mock drafts, that, and they're all different. And I don't even know how many of them are really that close. But you kind of know that in the top 10 there's going to be, what, at least four quarterbacks taken. That you do know. I'm Howard Eskin. I'll give you the numbers, 215-592-9494. We shall return at 8:55 in the morning. And you know, you do know this. The Bruno Brothers, you know, for their incredible selection of specialty meats and cheeses. You can go there and you start looking at all the food and you say, well, I want that and I want that. And yeah, how about a little bit of that? The cheeses, the meats, the food, it's all so good. And I don't know how many people know, but I've tried to tell you that they offer full service catering. So if you want a wedding catered, the Bruno Brothers can do it really, really well for you. Corporate events, they've done a lot, and I've been involved in corporate events that they've catered, and it is sensational. The lunches, more, whether it's personal, whether it's business catering, they can do it all. Let the Bruno Brothers handle the food, because that's what they're really good at. So many delicious options to choose from. Also, here's another thing you can do. You can send a taste of the Bruno Brothers to your friends, family, clients for their birthday, whatever, with the Bruno year-long gifting services. And it's really good. And they can send it out and you get a lot of good food. Send a taste of the Brunos to your clients for whether it's their anniversary or maybe just because. Just say, hey, you know, you've been a good client here just because. There's no better way to share in a culinary experience than with the Brunos. Order through mydebruno.com, powered by Instacart, for pickup or delivery. That's the Bruno Brothers, mydebruno.com, powered by Instacart, or check them out at, and their retail locations are great. You're probably hungry thinking about it, at any one of their 7 retail locations. Saturday morning, resetting here for hour number 2. Eagles are in, according to the fans, now, the Eagles always have things under control. Well, not always. Most of the time, they have things under control. There was outrage when C.J. Gardner-Johnson signed with Detroit. He's not going to like it in Detroit. There's going to be, I just picture there's going to be issues. Now, would I have liked to see him with the Eagles? Yeah, sure. There was a lot of crazy things that happened for the Eagles. They did sign a lot of players. We'll see how they fit, how good they are, but that's what they do. And then you figure it out in the mini camps. You figure it out in training camp. Usually, they're always making deals in training camp and right before the start of the season. And that'll be fine. But will they miss C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Depends on who they replace him with. But they did want him back. Fletcher Cox's contract had nothing to do with them not being able to sign, whether you want Fletcher Cox back or not. And I've looked at it both ways. He's not getting $10 million guaranteed. There's probably a few million, from what I understand, in incentives. So they could have signed him. They wanted to sign him. You knew they were going to open up space by restructuring Lane Johnson. They signed another player yesterday, a safety. So they're going to figure it out. And I've heard outrage. Zeke Elliott, I mean, teams that he wants to play for. I love the way he puts it out there, and everybody just runs with it like, oh, he's going to come here. And Darius Slay tweeting out that he'd like to see him come here. Darius, just play. Don't be the general manager. Just play. Just play. Nobody here in Philadelphia, almost nobody, wants Zeke Elliott back. Not just because he was a Cowboy. Because he's done. Running backs, they reach an expiration date a lot quicker. They reach an expiration date a lot quicker than other players. That's that position. I mean, that's basically what it is. That's the position. you expire a lot quicker than other positions. And Zeke Elliott's done. And I just don't want to see, and they're not going to sign him. It's just people, because he wants to play, because somebody puts out that he wants to, one of the teams he'd like to play for. I don't know that any of the teams that he put out there really want him. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the phones. And then the Rhys Hoskins situation. Hey, Derek Hall, I think, is going to do a really nice job. But they're going to miss Derek Hall as the DH until Harper comes back, too. All right, let's go to Ken. Ken, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard. How are you today? I know you've never had a bad day in your life.
Yeah, it's just another day in paradise. Hopefully the weather clears up and, you know, we have some good weather.
I've been listening to you since your WWDB days before there was such a thing as sports talk radio. Yeah. So you really are.
Yeah, I was doing FM sports talk before FM sports talk was even a thing.
Yes, you were. So you are truly, I know we've hailed some pioneers on this radio station, but you are at the top of the list, so I appreciate you.
Well, thanks. Thank you.
So two things real quick.
Sure.
Rhys Hoskins, second, but first, real quick, if the Eagles draft a running back, I don't care if it's Bijan Robinson, anybody, if they draft a running back with the number 10 pick, Howie Roseman should be fired before they sign the guy. I mean, that is such an irresponsible pick, and I think people who want to draft a running back with the 10th pick, it just speaks to how much fantasy football has influenced the way people view actual football. And, you know, it's called fantasy football for a reason. It's got really nothing, no correlation to actual football. So,
you know, and I don't think just, I think they're smart enough. It's just, but they're not the only team. You know, how many running backs were a real success, where the team was a success, that were drafted in the top 10 with their original team? It's very, very, very rare. It's just, that's not what you draft in the top 10, especially nowadays. You don't take running backs. You can find them in the third and fourth round, and you can find good ones.
Yeah, I agree. Rhys Hoskins, it boggles my mind the number of people that have called this station over the last few days and talked about Rhys Hoskins like he's just some kind of a throwaway guy. Like, don't really need Rhys Hoskins.
They're going to miss him. People don't understand how much they're going to miss him. And I think Derek Hall's going to do a really nice job. And he's got a chance to hit 30 home runs if he plays every day, and he's going to play every day. However, then you miss that spot in the lineup, Derek Hall, as a left-hander, especially until Bryce Harper comes back, because he was your DH.
Exactly. It's baffled me since the people talked about, you know, we got to get rid of Rhys Hoskins last year, like he's a bad player. And he's one of, I think, four players in Major League Baseball that have averaged 30 home runs a year for the last four seasons. You just, you know, when you can pencil that into your lineup, it makes things a lot easier. So,
sure.
The people that are talking about him like he's just an inconsequential guy, man, I just don't get it.
You know what? Well, I get it. They're the fans. I get it. But they don't understand. They don't understand how much you're going to miss him. Not only was he's a good person. He was good in the locker room. And they have some good guys in the locker room. I mean, people talk about Schwarber. Trey Turner's obviously a really good guy. And that is what's needed. People think, and, you know, Joe Giglio chimes in. Joe Giglio just, I don't know what sport he should stick to. He's a nice player, but he's replaceable. Here's the thing that they're going to miss. Derek Hall was going to be at another spot in the lineup. And until Harper comes back, 30 home runs, you just don't, you can find a player at the trade deadline. Joe's telling me to relax. You're not going to find a player that's a 30 home run player just like that. Who are you going to give up to get a 30 home run player? Who are you going to give up?
They grow on trees, Howard.
Yeah, they grow on trees,
don't you know that?
Yeah, it's just these guys, just stick to what you stick to, whatever that is. See, some people just don't like Hoskins. This team is built on home runs. That's what they're built on, home runs. And you just took 30 home runs out of the lineup. 30 home runs, you just took them right out of the lineup. We'll see how that all plays out, especially with Harper not here. And who knows how long it's going to take. And Harper's a streaky player, too. You still need somebody else. He's a streaky player. Now, he's a good player, obviously, but he's a streaky player. Now, you just don't replace Rhys Hoskins. Put Derek Hall in there, who thinks he's going to do a good job. But then you miss his spot in the lineup as the DH.
Think about what the Phillies postseason would have been like last year without those five home runs that Hoskins hit in the NLCS. I mean,
here's what fans do. They take people for granted when they have something that they don't like, and nobody likes his defense. And I understand he's not a good defensive player. I understand that. But don't take away the value that he does bring to the team, and the value is his offense for a team that exists on the home run. It's not that easy to do. Not that easy. All right, so which player or coach can't you stomach anymore?
I don't know if I can expand it a little bit, but I cannot stomach Cowboys fans anymore. I mean, every year they're talking Super Bowl. Most of them haven't been alive long enough to remember the last time they played in a Super Bowl. I can't stomach Cowboys.
You know,
fans.
When they call up this radio station, Cowboys fans call up this radio station, and they're just so annoying because they're so out of touch with what the Cowboys and who the Cowboys are. They're so out of touch with anything. They're out of touch. They're clueless that they're clueless. It's just Cowboys fans are actually, but you'd like to narrow it down to, but they're all dopes. They're all dopes and
there
a waste
no
of time.
There are no good ones.
They're cockroaches. All right, Ken, you have a great weekend. Take care. You know, a Cowboys callers are one thing. How about the afternoon show is now trying to create this war among shows with fans calling different shows with callers? See, there's a lot of callers that think they're the actual star of the show, and they make the show. It doesn't. And there's some callers that bring some humor. I mean, Chuck from Mount Airy is now a little too full of himself. I mean, he'll bring some humor. He'll bring something to the table. And there's other callers that think they just bring all these things to the table. And then when they call another show, it's like all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. Oh, yeah, they're calling another show. And what's the difference? Let them call. Let them call another show. But now it seems like there's a caller war going on among shows. All right, let's go to Created by the Afternoon Show. Marks and Reese. All right, let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on WIP.
Howard, good morning.
Morning.
Howard, I had called in about a month ago, and you and I had this conversation about the Sixers. And I want to start out by saying that I think if we want to take two models in the city, you take the Eagles who have done, I think we've been blessed to have an owner that has given back to the community, has realized the heritage of the team, but he also takes into consideration with the fans, even though, yes, it's a business, they all have to make money. I understand that. But when you represent a team and you own a team, and I think John Middleton does a decent job with the Phillies, even though they haven't had the winning results.
Yeah, but John Middleton is a very, very good owner who cares about the
100%.
Fans, cares about winning.
Right.
He's not worried about his money. The Sixers ownership are worried about their money more than anything else.
This is where I'm going, Howard. And think about this for a second. And I think somebody ought to sit these people down. First off, the city is a disaster with the crime and everything. So that whole idea about moving a facility to Chinatown is absolutely insanity. They can't even handle what they have now.
Think about the infrastructure there. Market Street's a mess now. So you, between the years of construction and
Howard, I think the fans, the fans of both the Sixers and the Flyers are the ones that pay the price in the end. I think both teams need to be sold. Okay, I think,
and I agree with it. I think Brian Roberts is a wonderful person, but he doesn't have anything to do with the team
anymore.
They're
not
their company
in
owns
the
it.
Team, but Howard, there's a history, there's a culture, and what you brought up the other night, you bring up a team that won a championship in '83, Hall of Famers, and the owners aren't there. Howard, you've got to give back to the city. You've got to give back to the fans, and the fans are the ones that pay the bills because they're the ones that come and watch the entertainment. The problem is both organizations ought to sit down, okay? You could buy both teams if you had an ownership group that would do it. They would have the building, they control the parking, they would control the venues, and put ownership, put the right management in place that wants to win and put a winning product on, and the people will come if winning.
It wouldn't shock me if Comcast would want to sell the Flyers. I mean, that wouldn't shock me.
But I would be totally
shocked if the Sixers ownership would sell. They even have bickering among their own pieces.
Here's a real revelation.
Let me just get this out. Sure. They bicker with the people that have a piece of the team that they don't like Josh Harris. The people that have, you know, they bought a little piece of the team, they just don't like Josh Harris. And he tries to screw them if he buys their piece, from what I was told. He's just all about money. He's not about culture. He's not about fans. He doesn't care about you. But I asked the question, why isn't there more outrage that this guy, this ownership group, and Josh Harris, and David Blitzer's a good guy, but he just goes along with what Josh Harris wants to do, obviously. Why is there not more outrage that they're trying to buy a rival of the Philadelphia Eagles?
Unfortunately, they don't understand. The fans don't understand with the Sixers. Yes, they put an okay product out there every year. Yeah, we win our 50 games. Howard, they're not going to win the championship this year. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
Okay? And the thing is, they didn't put the right people in place to run the organization, to make the right decisions. I mean, we look at what happened with Simmons, and now you've got Harden, who's like, oh, I did you a big favor, and I gave you money last year so you could go add more pieces. Howard, they're never going to win. And the people that pay the price for
it. I still think he's getting that money from somewhere. He's getting the money from somewhere. He's not going to give up $5 million a year. I don't get the whole thing. But the point is, forget about all that. I mean, we can get down to the particulars that Daryl Morey's a fraud. It's been, he doesn't put a team together because he doesn't know basketball. He knows how to read a computer. So with all that said, but it comes down to they don't care about the fans. And I'm surprised that more people haven't had outrage towards that ownership.
Howard, instead of chasing the Commanders and owning the Devils, why doesn't he just sell both of them and then he could buy the Flyers and still have the Sixers and buy the building and he could have everything he wants one roof?
Yeah, you know? He, the new building is all about his money. It has nothing to do with helping Philadelphia, all that nonsense that they're going to make Philadelphia better. What business is going to move downtown with the way the situation is for 50 dates a year? Oh, well, they get a few other dates, yeah. But the Wells Fargo Center is not going to lose those events. And then you're going to have conflicts when you want to go to different things. And if they do have, it's just there's nothing good about it. And jobs are created. You're just taking jobs from another place and just moving them. Yeah, would you get construction workers to have jobs? But there's so much construction going on. I think the union people are fine. I think they're fine. There's so much going on with construction that they don't have problems getting jobs. It's all about their pocket. All right, what player or person just can't you stomach anymore?
And I think he's the poster child for it, Howard. And you talk about him all the time, LaFraud James.
Yeah, you're right. I can't I can't stomach LaFraud. He's just, how about last night he's at the game and he knows they have 100 shots of him during the broadcast. He's wearing sunglasses in the arena so he can look cool. Mr. Cool. It's just Mr. Cool. But that's a good one. All right, Bob, I appreciate the call. It's really kind of a joke. Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
What part of Florida are you calling from, Scott?
Well, I'm not in Florida now. I'm originally from Hartford, Bryn Mawr area back in the 60s. But I'm working right now. I do these walk-in bathtubs, ones with the doors for old people. I'm doing one in North Carolina right now. So that's where I'm calling you from.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah. Well, no, I listen to you guys every day. It sort of gets me through the day working and stuff like that. Keeps me in touch with Philadelphia. My mother and sister are still there. So, we're an old Philadelphia family. But anyway, this draft is interesting. I was curious, but I don't know if you know. What did they end up, the Pittsburgh safety, what was the amount of the contract?
I haven't seen numbers yet. Numbers yet. They haven't. They'll be out probably in the next 24 to 48 hours. It's not crazy money. And I said this the other day on the air. People are getting excited about who the Eagles signed. There's so many players out there. Now, I don't know how good that Edmonds is going to be with the Eagles. There's so many players that are going to have to sign one-year contract that are good players. They're not getting big deals right now. After they show something, the NFL has kind of changed a lot of the things that they're doing. And I assume it's just because those kind of things evolve. But he's not going to make crazy money. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the Eagles wanted, but his agent screwed him. Now, once C.J. Gardner-Johnson went to the Lions, his agent signed another player with the Eagles, so he got a 2-for-1. I think he got a question, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson's got a question his agent, too. That's why he signed with Detroit. But, hey, listen, I would have loved to have him here. I know he's a little wacky and a little crazy.
I'm Mario.
Oh, okay.
Howard, I'm just curious. A lot of people have been saying they want Bijan Robinson. I can see why that. It'd be an unbelievable.
It's just nitwits that are saying that.
Well,
it's like Ike Reese. It's like he's locked in on it. I mean, Ike should know better. Running backs in the top 10 don't work. It doesn't work.
Well, let me ask you a question. Alabama's been quite the juggernaut over the years, as now Georgia is. But the running back from Alabama, do you think we could get him at 62?
You mean at 30?
Well, at
30. You're saying in the second? You're second in the second round now.
No, I
don't think.
But to get him at 30,
the running game is not a big part of what the NFL does anymore. You've got to pass to win, and you need good running backs. But you can fill those spots in with running backs that are probably out there that you can sign on a one-year contract. That they've done. LeGarrette Blount. Who was the guy they got from Miami? Jay Ajayi. Yeah. And you find those people. It's not a big deal and Miles Sanders, after the first contract, he was gone. Running backs have injuries, and that creates part of the problem, too. They just get injured. They're not – you don't take them in the top 10 in the first round. I don't know if you even take them in the top in the second round, if he's really good. If that player from Alabama is there in the second round, I think they might take him. But you got to see what they do with their first two picks in the first round.
Right. I think it's a shame that two people died, but, it was foolishness that the kid was racing and stuff like that.
Jalen Carter. Hey, listen, if he's close at 10, they're going to try to find a way to get him.
Yeah, okay.
Come down to how smart a guy you are anymore. It's how good a football player or how good an athlete you are.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah. Well, listen. You have a great day. And
all right. Do you have a player that that you can't, or a coach that you just can't stomach anymore?
You
didn't hear that question.
Patino. Yeah, I can't Patino.
Patino is the poster child, and I took him out of the mix because that's why I based this question. Is Patino?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
That's all right. Obviously, you didn't hear the beginning of the show. Okay. All right. That's cool, Scott. Thanks. Yeah. Our question to try to win the $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers. We had a lot of great food. Just check it all out at thebruno.com. But people in sports you just can't stomach. We're still going to try to qualify a lot more people, and we'll do that through the rest of the show. Mark Lawrence will join us at about 9:40. So we're going to go through some more callers, try to get your comments, whether it's about the Eagles. I'm telling you, the Phillies are going to miss Rhys Hoskins. It's okay. It's okay. We'll see. We'll see if it's okay. 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin. Time now is 925. 94 WIP. Hey, there's somebody that celebrated a birthday this week, and I should wish him a happy birthday. Big name in Philadelphia. And let's hear the call by Merle Rhys, and then I'll wish this person a happy birthday. All right, Dan, go with it. It was a 10-yard pass that went for 99 yards. But anyway, happy birthday to Ron Jaworski, 72 years young. And Ron doesn't get old. He just gets older. And he's still very vibrant and very active in the area. And a person that everybody loves. All right, let's go. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. How you doing? You know, I hope Rhys Hoskins, everything turns out for him all right. You know, he had his deficiencies in the field the regular season. And, I mean, in Game 5 of the World Series, his play and Topper not that pinch-hitting Stubbs for Brandon Marsh, you know, Stubbs being the former backup who caught Presley, you know, cost him the game. So why wouldn't you try to have a better defense at first base? And Hall is a better defensive player than Rhys. So you just leave Rhys as a designated hitter, you know, until Harper gets back. And then against left-handed
pitching. Well, he's out for the season. So, all right.
But I'm saying prior, Howard, I said this.
They're going to miss him. I forgot about how you used him. They're going to miss those 30 home runs in the lineup. And I think Derek Hall is going to be good, but he would have been the DH. Derek Hall is going to be your DH anyway.
Against right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
And then you can make the move with the left-handers. You could go bomb to first, Sosa at third, and Harrison mixed in there just against lefties. And you would add Rhys Hoskins as the designated hitter. So he shouldn't have been out there. I'm saying he shouldn't have been out there on the field. Why, you know, his defense isn't going to get any better. They've had everybody working with them, you know, these coaches. It's not getting any better.
That's all well, right, but they're going to miss him. I mean, they're going to miss him.
They are. It was kind of brought on by them, and now he's messed up contract-wise. You know, he's not going to get
that's a personal issue,
long-term deal, you know.
Scott
he could have had a couple
Boyle
hot months.
Scott
until
Boras. Who
Harper
knows what
got
Scott
back,
Boras
you know?
Is going to do with that? Hey, Joe, who is the player that you can't stomach anymore?
Well, the coach. You'll see him next month. He'll be sitting at the ballroom table with his Kentucky players, John Calipari.
He's a good coach.
You know, that's his recruiting thing there when they see these, as John.
Not hard to recruit guys anymore. Whoever pays more money, that's what it comes down to. Hey, yeah. Joe, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Chuck. Chuck, how are you today? Chuck?
We're not aligned, but today we are aligned. So I got a call like you see it. You're exactly right with Hoskins and versus Hall. It's the overall run production, and you're going to miss 74 extra base hits, bottom line. Now, here's one more extension of that. You also have to look at second base, Howard. So I ask you this question. When you take Segura versus Stott, Hoskins and Hall, last year they're at 4.6 runs per game. Do you take that combination over or below 4.6 runs per game?
Well, forget about the numbers. You know, unless Stott's got a hit, everybody thought that he was going to hit. He hasn't done it in spring training. No.
Right. Yeah, you know,
defensively, I think he's a little bit better than Segura. He is better than Segura.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Absolutely.
Okay, and Trey Turner will improve their defense at shortstop.
Oh, yes.
So all those things together, but you just don't take 30 home runs out of the lineup. And Derek Hall, I think, is going to hit 30 home runs. Yeah. However, but you're going to miss him as the DH.
When it's all said and done, you look at what the team did, and there were 255 doubles last year and 205 home runs. When you take 74 of those extra base hits away, then you take what Hall has, you still have to add back to it another position. Yeah. You're going to miss him a lot, and I don't think you'll ever see him again.
You know, I remember the day, Chuck.
The day.
Yeah. And I'm gonna bust your chops here a little bit.
The bet. We had the
bet. You told me Odubel Herrera was better than Rhys Hoskins. Remember those days, Chuck?
You know what? The year that we made that bet, I did say that. That year, I did say that. I did. And I think I picked up your 5-pound lobster for losing that bet. Did I not, counselor?
Yes, you did. Okay.
I love you. I got to go. That's all I got.
I'm saving stuff up for you to kind of
every once in a while. You got to get out. I'm going to own it all. Just tell you to have a great weekend. All right.
All right. See you later.
See you later.
Right. That's who he wanted. He wanted Odubel Herrera over Rhys Hoskins. You're kidding me, aren't you? You're kidding me. All right. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard.
Yes.
It came to the realization I should just call you because you're right. During the week, those guys are clickbait guys, and
it comes down to
trying to get reaction, which helps with headline news and gets people, you know, discussing stuff. That's perfect for talk radio. But I like you because you do your research and you don't just drink the Kool-Aid locally. I think it comes to a broader thing. So there's a little bit of a conflict of interest with like Comcast and NBC. They basically,
I would love those guys on the TV broadcast to be more honest. I mean, you got
to
be more honest.
The teams and drink the Kool-Aid. Yeah. And thus they sell more tickets because they can always wait.
Well, I forget about the tickets. I mean, they want to keep everything, you know, you don't see whether it's the Sixers broadcast, whether it's the Phillies broadcast. You just, you know, every once in a while, somebody needs to be criticized for something that didn't go right or a player that didn't make the right play.
That's why I like Larry Anderson and even Vitalik.
Larry Anderson and Scott Fransky are the best. They're
perfect. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, when he bangs the table because he can't see.
And Larry's honest. And, you know, the Phillies will tell the announcers, hey, listen, maybe you shouldn't say that. You don't say that to Larry Anderson because he's just going to go out and, you know, he's going to be honest. And I love that about him. I love that.
That's the way it should be.
And honestly means that you can compliment somebody. But, you know, there's times when you have to criticize somebody. I saw Ruben Amaro on a TV broadcast. I love Ruben. Ruben Amaro is a great guy. But,
he's dry.
He says all these. You know, a guy makes a routine play at shortstop. Oh, what a great play. It was a hard-hit ball. They're major league ball players. I mean, please, spare me.
I love the comment that people said in the past. There's a professional hitter. Aren't they all professional
hitters? Oh, yeah. Well, that's a Ben Davis line. He's a professional hitter. Well, they're getting paid. Yes, they are.
Jared Batten, 260, he's a professional hitter.
It's a joke. You're right. Hey, all right, what player or coach can't you stomach anymore?
Well, could I also do agent?
Sure.
All right, Scott Boras, because he's like
Scott Boras is a sickening
he's
guy.
He's one
I
of
like
the
that
big
one.
Causes because he basically
like
takes 4-foot tall owners with 6-foot deep pockets and manipulates Major League Baseball.
Well, I don't care about this. I don't care how tall they are. But, you know, Scott Boras
is just... I'm just saying that they have more money.
But why they bow over to him? The Phillies didn't bow over to him on Jake Arrieta, and it pissed off Boras, and he whined about it at the news conference. I remember.
What about J.D. Drew? What about J.D. Drew?
Yeah, well, that was another thing. Hey, Chris, I appreciate the call. Thank you. By the way, just to reference that Jaworski to quick play, I didn't realize how long ago it was. It was 38 years ago. It was 38 years ago. 38 years ago in an overtime game against the Falcons. 38 years. Boy, plays just live on, don't they? All right, when we come back, talk to Mark Lawrence about the NCAA tournament. The time now is 9:40. 94 WIP as we wrap things up today. NCAA tournament is now a mess if you play in your brackets. It is a total mess. But it is what it is. There's no standout teams anymore, I guess, in college basketball. All right, take a look at the NCAA tournament. We're going to talk to Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you this morning?
I'm doing a lot better than those number one seeds are doing, Howard. I can tell you that.
Man, it's just to think that no number one seeds, none, are going to make it to the final four, let alone the final eight. It's crazy. It really is crazy. But I guess that's what college basketball is nowadays. I mean, it is what it is. All right. So now, since everybody's brackets are a mess, and what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's take a look at what's left. Obviously, you're surprised that Houston or Alabama or both are not there, correct?
Yeah, I'm absolutely stunned, as is the basketball world. I think we were a little bit forewarned at the beginning of the tournament because this thing was expected to be so wide open, and it's really proven that. But I think nobody had any clue at all that there would not be a number one seed playing this weekend or this weekend. Yes.
All right. So now we're looking at what's left. Let me just ask you, who do you think will be in the final? I mean, it's like in the final four.
Well, it's very, very difficult. If you go by the seeds, Howard, you know, the lowest remaining seed is Texas, a number two seed, but I think they're very vulnerable here today, Texas, against Jim Larrañaga, who's got a ton of experience. And interesting stat about Jim Larrañaga is that in the NCAA tournament, five times he's been an underdog against teams in which he has had the better record. He's won all five of those games straight up as Larrañaga. I don't think he'll be intimidated in this game at all.
That game's tomorrow, I believe, Miami
and
Texas.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. Yeah, it is tomorrow, right. Correct. But they're the number two seed, the highest remaining seed. Kansas State, my goodness, and Gonzaga. Right now, I would say Vegas is probably making either Texas or Gonzaga the favorite right now as we're speaking.
Boy, and Connecticut's a good team. Connecticut's a good team. I mean, today, don't overlook Florida Atlantic. It wouldn't shock me that Florida Atlantic wins that game.
It wouldn't shock me at all any either. You got a Kansas State team that's upstart. You know, they're picked to finish last in the Big 12 conference this year. They had a great season, but you know, now they're playing a team that has a 34-3 record, and all they do is know how to win at Florida Atlantic these days. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Florida Atlantic sends Kansas State home in that game.
You know, Mark, I mean, looking at these games, now obviously it's big. The teams that win today and tomorrow go to the Final Four. A little more pressure to get to the Final Four. It's been fun now, and you have upsets. Do you tend to look at the unders in these games because they feel it a little bit more, or does that not make a difference?
I think it's probably much more so that way this weekend, Howard, with the big boys gone. These kids that they're stunned that, you know, they're no longer around, and suddenly the pressure's there for these kids, these lower seeded teams that didn't expect to be here. So I think these unders are a really nice place moving forward from this point on.
Is there one under in today or tomorrow that you really like?
I would look to the Florida Atlantic Kansas State game. It's two teams that both play some pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. And Florida Atlantic, they don't get credit any at all for, I think, their defensive side of the basketball and what it is that they do. And you got 144 points to play with. That's like 72 apiece to each team. I think that's probably, to me, the most attractive total to go under.
San Diego State's played really well. I kind of Creighton didn't really, towards the end of the season, they didn't play that well. Do you like San Diego State tomorrow?
A little bit. You know, we talk about higher seeds being the underdogs in basketball games, and that's the case in that game. San Diego State, a 5 seed, Creighton, a 6. Creighton continues to keep getting a lot of respect out of Vegas, but San Diego State, of all the teams that are playing and that are left alive, have the best defensive performance in the tournament so far. And, you know, they're out beating their opponents by an average of more than 10 points per game from the defensive side. So I think they're a live dog here as well.
I can't believe Gonzaga won after coming back and then trailing, and the guy hits that shot. Gonzaga, they're a good team, but they're not as good as they have been in the past. And Connecticut's a pretty good team, but it sounds like you like Gonzaga today.
Well, I'm a little tentative to the game. One, because Connecticut had the look and the feel of a team that could cut down the nets, and Gonzaga. My concern about them today is the fact that, you know, that monster game that they had against UCLA, can they pick themselves back up in 2 days and come back and perform it in the same manner here? I think it's a tough basketball game, personally. In fact, I think it's the toughest nut to crack on the card this weekend.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens next week. The Final Four. Yeah, TV doesn't care because people are going to watch the games anyway. So it's just – and I don't know that Houston and Alabama would have been great appeal. So it is what it is. This is what we're seeing now in these NCAA basketball tournaments. But if people have interest in Mark services, 800-321-7777 on the internet at playbooksports.com. Mark, enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, be well. Enjoy the games. Take care.
All right, take care. Thanks. All right, let's see if we can qualify some more people. The people that you stomach, that you can't stomach in sports right now. And let's go to Seth. Seth, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard. How are you today?
Good.
Thanks for getting my call in. As far as the Philly fans, it's sad that Rhys Hoskins is out, but I'm not surprised that people are acting like it's not a big deal. Especially how big he came up in the playoffs. And, you know, it's clear that everybody in that locker room loves that guy. And this is a team that's built on, you know, these guys getting along and working together. And I think he's a huge part of that. So I think we will miss him tremendously.
Yeah, people don't
understand a lot of these people.
Much.
No. But that's typical. You know what I mean? It's just the way that it is. I love all the I love all the teams in this town, but I'm not surprised that that's the way that it's going.
All right. Because I'm kind of running out of time. Coach?
Jose Altuve, the biggest cheater of them all. Can't stand him.
Okay. It's just, he's out for 2 months. So because of that World Baseball Classic with all those injuries, which is crazy.
Thank
all
God. Right, I don't have to look at him.
You're in the mix. You're in the Thanks. Mix. All right, Seth. Hey, Lamont. What the hell do you want today?
Good morning, Howard. Good morning. Howard. Now, I was calling about the Sixers, too, Howard. Hey, Howard.
Well, you're going to have to make it quick because I'm running out of time here.
All right. Them Sixers, Howard. They're not making it to the playoffs, Howard.
Well, they're going to make it to the playoffs, you moron. They're not just not going to win a championship.
They're not going to win that, and Embiid's not going to win the MVP.
Well, at this point, he's going to win the MVP.
You think so, Howard?
Yeah, because it's all about points. Everybody's all excited about his
Howard.
Points. Yeah. And that's that's why he played last night. He played last night. See, now I wonder whether he's going to play tonight. So you have a back-to-back. It's a third game in 4 nights. And Denver's coming up next week. Is he going to want to get ready for Denver and Jokic? So I wonder whether Joel Embiid will play tonight. But it's all about building up those points. All right. Make it quick. What else did you want to say?
And Howard. And then I think with Josh Harris, I think you're a little bit wrong with that, Howard.
Okay.
I mean, the man is just a businessman. He want to, you know,
well,
he's
right.
An entrepreneur.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But he wants to make Philadelphia a better place. Get out of here, you Cowboy fan. Get out of here. All right, let's go to Jerry. Jerry, you're on WIP.
I'm tempted to name Lamont. Hey, did Kyrie Irving get through everyone?
That's your guy, Kyrie Irving. You're right.
Yeah, Nutso, and who's he playing for now anyway?
Playing for Dallas. All right, so since I got to move on, but you're in there. All right, let's go to Gary. Gary, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
Good.
I couldn't stand this guy as a player because I think he was overhyped, and I cannot stand him as an announcer because he doesn't shut up. Tony Romo.
Oh, it's actually a good one. Oh, wow. Okay, you're in. All right, let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard.
All right, give me your guy.
For the pinch hitter, Kyle Schwarber, and then for who I can't stand, Mike McCarthy on the sideline. I said Daniel Snyder, but it's actually Mike McCarthy will qualify.
Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy just
looks like a big bag of hot air.
He's just like he's just a dope. But I'll put you in the mix. All right, Steve. Thanks for the call. All right, Dan. You know that Tony Romo entry kind of caused me to think a little bit.
There was another one in that segment that actually got me thinking more than Tony Romo.
Kyrie
Irving, who I think is my vote for who should win this. I'm going with Jerry.
Wow. Wait a minute. All right. So let's run this down. All right. We had Joan, who had Aaron Rodgers,
who was the really, previous leader in the clubhouse.
I
I
can't even stomach the guy anymore, as good as he is. Then we had LaFraud James, which was a good one. Then we had Romo and Kyrie. But the thing with Kyrie, he doesn't really say anything. It's just the way he acts. I don't know, and I agree with you on that, Dan. If you had it, all right, let's mix it up again. Between Rodgers, Kyrie, Romo, and LaFraud.
I think I go Kyrie, but my next vote would be Rodgers.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Wow. Kyrie is, and nobody took Draymond Green. Can't say. See, Kyrie doesn't, he really doesn't annoy, he annoys you the way with what he does, but he doesn't say a lot. Rodgers says all these stupid things. Romo just says too much. LeBron just can't keep himself away from trying to, you know, I don't know that I agree with you, Dan. I love you, but I think I might have to take your second choice, which might be my first choice, would be Aaron Rodgers. So that would be Joan, right?
Joan, correct, is the winner.
Okay, all right. Sorry to kind of overrule, but that's why we have a democracy here, Dan. That's why we have a democracy. All right, Dan Wilson, taking care of things today. Macnell and Sielski are next, correct? They are next?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy it. Phillies baseball today. Phillies season starts on Thursday. Crazy. I'm heading to Phoenix for the NFL league meetings tomorrow. And all the coaches are there. Hopefully I get some interesting stuff out of there, and I'll be on with Joe Giglio on Tuesday, and we'll talk about it. Everybody have a great weekend. WIP, and the time now is 9:57.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.